Hello and welcome to the podcast for TheForce.net. My name's Eric and I'm your host bringing you the latest and greatest from the Star Wars community. We've got just 2 weeks until the big day, only 1 week for those of you attending any of the charity screenings, and some of my colleagues with TFN and RebelScum.com are even seeing the movie tonight at various press screenings across the country. And to those colleagues who are all seeing the movie without me tonight, I'd like to say this. You're all a bunch of punks. And I mean that in the most loving way possible, of course. And me bitter? Nah. Seriously, though, expect reviews to start rolling in soon. But don't worry, even though I'll be including reviews here on the podcast, I will make sure I announce ahead of time whether or not they've got spoilers. Expect to start hearing some reviews with the next podcast show. For now, I'll just say that all of them so far have been positive, and I'll say that this is much better than the first two prequels. Kevin Smith, the guy who did Clerks, Chasing Amy, Jane, Silent Bob Strike Back, he's quoted as saying he liked it as much as he did Empire Strikes Back. So that's quite an endorsement. The only two negative things I've really seen mentioned from time to time in some of the early reviews are mainly about dialogue and story, specifically that the dialogue is still kind of rough in some spots, though greatly improved over episodes 1 and 2, and that some people felt Anakin's slow progression to the dark side could have been a little bit more convincing. Remember, I told you guys, read the book first, it'll make sense. Anyway, even the few reviews that mentioned these complaints still said that the movie was incredible, and I get the impression that those complaints really didn't ruin the movie for those people like it did with the other two prequels. Overall, the consensus is that this is definitely the movie we've been waiting for. Most people don't go to conventions like Celebration 3 expecting to get a lot of news. But when you've got question and answer sessions with both Rick McCallum and George Lucas, there's definitely going to be some interesting news. Here's a recap of the news from the convention, along with some more recent information that's come out since C3. First things first, here's the non-spoiler info that we found out about the movie itself. It turns out that the final cut of the movie was approved Tuesday, April 19th, exactly 1 month before the movie's release. Both Spielberg and Coppola have seen it, and they both liked it. And apparently Coppola is a big fan of the Star Wars movies, but he allegedly thought it was pretty good. The running time is 2 hours 11 minutes, and the DVD comes out in November. Matthew Wood, supervising sound editor and the voice of General Grievous, said that working on the deleted scenes was his next task. And yes, at least one deleted scene will have General Grievous in it. There are at least two differences between the standard film prints and the digital version. I can't go into a lot of detail about what they are because of spoilers, but I wanted to talk a little bit about them because I've gotten several questions about this. Now, to recap, while not shown via digital projection anywhere but maybe, I think, 4 theaters, Episode 1 had 2 theatrical prints. Now, I've personally seen both of them. The earlier prints, which there were fewer of, had Darth Maul falling down the pit at the end intact. The more common print, the official one and what's on the DVD, has Darth Maul being split in half as he fell. In Episode 2, the digital version had Padme holding Anakin's metal hand during the wedding. The film print did not. My point so far is that we're talking about maybe 3 or 4 seconds of footage in each of the films so far. Episode 3 will actually have extra footage, though again, it will be very little, so if you're not seeing it at a theater with digital projection, don't freak out. In my spoiler episode, I'll point out exactly what the changes are, but basically one scene now has a few more characters added in the background, and another is a scene that was cut originally but is now back in the movie again. Both are very short, and both happen at the very end of the movie. Yeah, they're cool, especially the scene that was originally cut, but nothing to panic over if you've got tickets for a film print on opening night. I mean, you're going to see the movie again anyway, right? Just hit a digital theater next time if you can. If not, I'm sure the changes will be on the DVD. The last two major merchandise releases are now out. The soundtrack came out on Tuesday, and it includes a very cool DVD with what basically amounts to 16 music videos in which John Williams uses the various musical themes to cover the entire saga. The other major release is the Episode 3 video game, which was to be released earlier today. I got a chance to test out the two-player mode of this at C3, and it's actually quite impressive. Oh, and don't forget the LEGO Star Wars movie Revenge of the Brick comes out Sunday night on Cartoon Network. I'm told it will also be available on the LEGO site on Monday. There are 2 new television spots available on the official site. They're called To Protect You and Seduction. They focus primarily on Anakin and Padme. They're definitely good, but I found the earlier TV spots more interesting. When you've only got about 30 seconds or less, swinging a lightsaber around is much cooler than listening to a line or two of dialogue that you hope won't sound cheesy later when you actually hear the entire conversation. Still, they were good and they're worth checking out. One last thing related to the movie's release. Rick McCallum confirmed at C3 that they will be screening Episode 3 for the troops in Iraq. And not just a single screening either, but he implied it would be as openly available as possible over there. Now, personally, I don't care what side of the political line you sit on. The troops over there have it rough. I've been over there when combat was limited, and I was behind the lines, and it was rough. But my situation was like a cakewalk compared to what the troops over there now are going through. You just can't imagine what it's like unless you've been there. For Lucas and McCallum to set something like this up for the troops is just... it's awesome beyond words. For those of you with friends or relatives over there, I know that a movie, even Star Wars, probably seems a little frivolous at the moment. But I can tell you that this is going to raise their spirits a lot, and I can't tell you how happy I am that this is being done. Okay, so that brings us up to speed on news items leading up to the movie's release. Let's move on to the other news. Okay, now before I go any further with the Celebration 3 coverage, I want to point out that Lucas is sticking to his guns. There will be no episodes 7, 8, and 9. I know many of you remain skeptical on this, and I would too had he not announced the television series. But given the TV series, I'm fully convinced. Do not expect any new Star Wars movies. So, now that that's out of the way, I was kind of surprised at how many questions were asked about the Indiana Jones series, both the films and the Young Indy TV series. Both Lucas and McCallum said the Young Indiana Jones DVDs are definitely going to be made, and they're working out the bureaucratic details right now. They're also doing a lengthy documentary for the DVD set. No word at all on a release date. Lucas apparently got the script for Indiana Jones 4 just before leaving for C3, but he hadn't got a chance to read it yet. Spielberg plans to make this movie, quote, after he does the next one. Now, I don't know if that means after he's done with War of the Worlds or if there's another one being done after that. For those of you who are interested, Lucas said that the Star Tours attraction at the Disney theme parks will be revamped. He didn't go into a lot of detail, he just said that they're looking at a few different possibilities. This is good news, in my opinion. There's a lot they could do with an attraction like that, and while Star Tours was pretty cool when it first came out, it really needs to be remade. There were a lot of questions about DVDs at the convention. I've already mentioned the Young Indy series. McCallum was asked about the Droids and Ewoks DVDs. He replied and said, yeah, they're already out. To which the fan explained that neither series was complete on DVD, only certain episodes were available. He then looked off stage to... I didn't quite catch who it was, but apparently it's the guy in charge of the DVDs, because Rick McCallum turned to him for pretty much every DVD question. Then Rick McCallum turned back and said, yeah, they'd be out. He was asked the same thing about some of the earlier making-of videos that had been released over the last 30 years. He gave what seemed to me to be a rather nervous confirmation. Then the fan asked about the holiday special, to which I don't remember exactly what his reply was, but it probably had something to do with suggesting that this fan needed to get some therapy. Seriously, though, for everything except the holiday special, it appears we can expect DVD releases. How soon? No idea. I wouldn't get too eager if I were you. It also looks like we can expect a larger box set down the road containing all 6 movies. Lucas apparently said that there may be a 7th disc that may contain deleted scenes from the original trilogy. He was asked whether he'd make any further modifications to the films, but Lucas said that the films are the way he wants them right now. Now, I'm sure that means no, though in typical Lucas style, it wasn't technically a no. It's him saying no changes as of right now. And I'm sure fans are going to take that and run with it. Personally, as much as I've joked about him making more really super special editions, I really don't think it's going to happen. He also said that there's no truth to the rumored super archival edition on super high-def DVD. He and Rick were asked about the 3D films that were talked about at the Show West convention. Now, here's a quote from Lucas himself during an interview with Hollywood.com that really sums up what was said at the convention. It says, quote, it really depends on how fast the theater owners finally get on the stick and put digital cinema in their theaters, because it won't work without having digital projectors. So we're hoping it's a way of pushing digital. I've been trying for 6 years to get digital. We did Phantom Menace digitally in 4 theaters. We did Attack of the Clones in about 115. And now a lot of people have sold their theaters, so we're only going to be in about 80 theaters now. But in Europe, it's gone from about 20 theaters to now there's about 300. So we're now depending on the rest of the world. In the United States, the film industry has kind of gotten together and formed organizations to make sure that this doesn't happen in the foreseeable future. End quote. So in other words, Lucas is committed to it, but we might not get to see it here in the United States for a while. I've had some people ask me about whether it would work on IMAX screens. Now, from what I understand of the new 3D technology they're using, IMAX won't work. It has to be digital, period. It's a long story. I think it has something to do with the way digital has no imperfections, such as the real jitter and stuff like that. So IMAX isn't going to cut it in this case. In other aspects of the Star Wars community, hopefully you caught my interview with the Rebel Scum crew about collectibles at the convention. I've also got Jeff from TFN Fan Films coming up in a later podcast going over the fan films and the awards. And I've got Jay from Rebel Scum going over the news on comics and novels. And if you can hear that crunching noise in the background, I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. That's my dog, Kessel. She apparently decided that now's a great time to eat dinner while I'm doing recording. So just bear with it and pretend it's not actually happening. There have been some fairly controversial items in the news recently, too. The first one I'm going to mention is the new combat upgrade in the Star Wars Galaxies Online RPG game. I've kept up a little bit with what's going on, but I don't play the game, so I don't want to comment too much. I will say, however, that John Smedley, president of Sony Online, did respond to the customer petition. You can read more about it on the Force.net's gaming page. As many convention attendees have pointed out, myself included, things at Celebration 3 didn't go quite as smoothly as they could have, to be polite about it. While I was there, I learned that the powers that be seemed to agree with this assessment, though I'm not going to name any names. I heard that another company instead of Gen Con may have already been approached about the possibility of running the next convention. I'm not saying more than that, since I don't think anything official was... I'm not saying any more than that, since I don't think any official proposals were made... And we don't even have confirmation that there will even be a Celebration 4. This is just rumor. Another related rumor is that it may be held in Las Vegas rather than Indy. I'm not sure how I feel about this, but my understanding is that Vegas may be able to accommodate the larger crowds that we saw at C3 much better than Indy could. But on the other hand, C3 had two really big things going for it. It was attached to the final Star Wars movie, and George Lucas attended. If C4 should happen, it's probably going to be for the 30th anniversary, and there's no reason to assume that Lucas would even attend. So will it really draw the same type of crowd that C3 did? Sure, it'll be big, but I think C3 was maybe the exception to the rule. Maybe Indy would be fine for C4. Or on the other hand, maybe there are other considerations other than the size that are in play here. I really don't know. Anyway, this is all just rumor. I just wanted to be clear on that. During one of the Lucas presentations, Lucas made a rather embarrassing yet understandable mistake. See, Temuera Morrison, and I may not have pronounced that correctly, bear with me, he plays Jango Fett, the character from whom the clones were made. But the clones we see in Episode 2 are actually played by Bodhi Taylor. Many people who don't pay close attention missed that. But wait, there's more. A man named Jay LaGaia played Captain Typho in Episode 2. And when you see Jay and Bodhi in real life, they both look very similar. And because few people at the convention saw them at the same place at the same time, many people had a hard time telling them apart. Now, Jay was hosting one of the ballrooms for the entire convention, and Bodhi was signing autographs. But when either of them left their respective halls, fans got kind of confused. It was kind of funny, actually. If you get a chance to get a good look at them, you can kind of tell who's who. But there were a lot of people mistaking one for the other, including George himself. Jay LaGaia was the MC for the Lucas question and answer sessions, and at one point Lucas made a comment referring to Jay as a clone. Many people in the audience caught it, but, I mean, come on, who's going to correct George Lucas? Not even Jay corrected him on stage. But Lucas got backstage and immediately got chewed out for his mistake. And who was this mystery person who had the nerve to chew Lucas out? His daughter. After which, Jay, seeing a great opportunity, said to George, "So, you're doing a TV series, huh? You'll be doing that in Australia, right?" Good job, Jay. In a more serious bit of controversy, CNET has posted an article discussing the relationship between Lucasfilm and the fan films and fan fiction communities. Now, I'm no expert on fan films personally, but even I could tell that what was said didn't sound right. One of the most controversial aspects of the article, in my opinion, was when Lucas was accused of discouraging fan creativity, quote, "sometimes in ways that had strong gender-biased implications," end quote. The comments that readers attached to the article challenged some of the things that were said, and Jeff from TFN Fan Films posted a quick editorial response on the TFN page linking to the article. Some will see this as yet another way in which the mainstream media gets the facts wrong about Star Wars fans, but in all fairness, while I found the article disappointing to say the least, I don't think we're talking about your typical get-a-life fan bashing here. Though it makes some gender-based, actually I think the correct term is sex-based, while it makes some sex-based generalizations of the fans, I think that Lucasfilm is the real loser here and that it makes them look sexist. If you thought the racist allegations surrounding the prequels were ridiculous, this is going to look even sillier. Okay, and speaking of which, I got to interject a question here. Has anyone ever bothered to start a public outcry about the fact that all the bad guys in the original trilogy except Vader were British? I mean, I think every Imperial officer I recall except one was British. What is Lucas trying to say here? Really makes you think, huh? You gotta watch those Brits. I bet Jeremy's emailing me right now. I'm kidding, of course. Anyway, okay, so I'm sitting there at the convention in the official picks office, and I'm having a conversation with another TFN staffer. This was on, I think, maybe the third day of the convention. He says, "Yeah, that outfit that you see Padme wearing on the movie poster, that's been cut from the film entirely." "Really?" I said. "Yep. Also, you know, Bei Ling was cut, right?" I said, "No way. She's out there signing autographs." He said, "Yeah, her scene's been cut from the movie." I said, "Wow, has anybody told her?" He said, "I don't think so." "Well, now she knows. She told reporters that she thinks it's related to her photo shoot appearing in the upcoming June issue of Playboy." Lynn Hale, spokeswoman for Lucasfilm, explained that it was just one scene and it was cut well over a year ago. George Lucas told Access Hollywood, quote, "My daughter is in the same scene. My daughter was cut as well." He then says, "My other daughter was in another scene, and that was cut as well." Now, there's still some controversy going on about whether Lucas really did cut it as a result of her involvement with Playboy, since he's always been trying to keep the Star Wars franchise family-friendly. But listen, without giving away any spoilers, I know the scene that Bei Ling was in. I know what happens in this scene. This is exactly the type of scene that Lucas would cut, and it's the type of thing he would have cut early on. Actually, I knew this scene was cut a while ago, I just didn't know that she was in it, nor that it was her only scene. So, for those who are still suspicious, I seriously don't think the Playboy thing had anything to do with it. Interestingly enough, Playboy apparently is still going to go with the whole Star Wars thing for the issue. The banner at the top of the cover reads, "Star Wars Sexy Alien," and the text next to Bei Ling reads, "Star Wars Collector's Issue, from a galaxy far, far away, Bei Ling naked, plus bonus movie supplement." I'm really curious, given the current circumstances, whether they'll stick with that cover or not. To wrap things up, here's some info on the hottest Star Wars topic aside from Episode 3, the television series. There are going to be two series, one animated and one live action. The animated series will continue from the existing Clone Wars series, but will take place after Episode 3 and will be 30 minutes in length each. It's also going to be 3D. There are some rumors floating around that Mark Hamill may be involved doing some voice work, but as of right now that's just rumor. Many of you know that Mark has done quite a bit of voice work for cartoons, most notably the voice of the Joker in the Batman animated series. The live-action series will have 100 episodes, each of which will be an hour long. No word yet on how that'll be split up across seasons, but I'm guessing it'll probably be 5 seasons of 20 episodes each. Lucas will start off writing and directing, and then will become less and less involved as the series moves forward. There's a fairly well-substantiated rumor that Kevin Smith will be writing and directing a 3-episode story arc, and many are speculating that George will use that to decide whether or not to have Smith on board long-term. The scripts for each season will be written all at once, and then the filming will be done all at once, and then they'll go into post-production. Production won't begin for the series for at least another year. The story takes place between episodes 3 and 4. There won't be any of the major characters from the prequel trilogy involved, though there will be at least one character appearing from the films. I've got a pretty good idea of who this character is, but that'll have to wait until the spoiler episode. It's been a while since I've asked for listener feedback, but I think it's that time again. The television shows, especially the live-action series, are hot topics right now, and they'll continue to be for quite some time. I'll be doing a commentary piece on it eventually, but I'd like to know where you guys stand on this. See, what works in film doesn't always work in television, and vice versa. Also, there are a lot of sci-fi shows out there with fan followings, and some of those shows are actually very good. The recent Battlestar Galactica is a personal favorite of mine, for example. People don't compare Star Wars very closely to other movies, but once it hits television, it's in a whole nother universe, so to speak. Every nuance of the show is going to get compared to every other existing sci-fi show. And of course, none of this even takes into consideration the fact that everyone expects perfection out of Lucas. And since nothing he does is actually going to be perfect, it's going to fail to meet many people's expectations. There are a lot of fans who are actually dreading this show, believe it or not. So I'd like to hear what you guys think. Will it be able to keep up with the other existing shows? What will make or break the series? Is the series even a good idea at all? Send your responses to podcast@theforce.net, and I'll read some of them in a future show. And that's all for now. Just a reminder, the opinions expressed in this podcast are my own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of any TFN staff members nor of Lucasfilm. TheForce.net is not affiliated with Lucasfilm in any way. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again when we'll have some more interviews from C3, along with a spoiler episode and some reviews of Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. Take care, and may the Force be with you.